This is Mae Brussel, and it is the second half of World Watch's program number 804. And I want to continue with some of the high drama important parts of the Iran-Contra affair, which are so massive, it's just impossible to even scratch most of it within an hour, even doing 1 hour a week. As I say, it'll be going on for many, many years and many books written about the matter. Identical to Watergate scandal, where Richard Nixon and Spiro Agnew were both involved, a team of real fascist monsters. We have George Bush as our vice president, and he is not safe or home free so far. I'll see how the hearings go, but as former director of the CIA, and with no CIA members or CIA members before the committee, he may have that kind of protection, but we'll wait and see. When you hear the name George Bush, you've been reading a lot about his pal, Mr. Gomez, whose real name is Felix Rodriguez from El Salvador. And Gomez Rodriguez, as I've said many times, is the man who helped Klaus Barbie and the Bolivian death squads kill Che Guevara, and the connections to the fascist network of Licio Gelli, the P2. The Vatican comes directly from the context that George Bush had a CIA director. And with Klaus Barbie, among other places, he had a lot of connections, but in particular in Bolivia, with the actions that went on during those years when the cocaine kings were killing and carrying on a real nightmare in that country. There are a lot of articles about George Bush, one from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, titled, Bush Denies Link to Contra Supply Plane, which right away he did, and it's becoming more apparent that he isn't separated from it. A current one, North hired ex-CIA agent for Contra Supply missions, and this just came out this past week. Of course, it's been dribbling out all along. Mr. Max Gomez, otherwise known as Rodriguez, working and strongly recommended for work with Oliver North in the group in El Salvador, from Donald Gregg, G-R-E-G-G, National Security Advisor, to George Bush and a former CIA official. I don't know how we can get closer to Bush and not pull him in, but it'll be interesting to see how he skirts around this. Another article in the LA Times last week, role by Bush doubted in recruiting airlift figure. North did it, the sources say. Well, we have to see whether North did it or not. Mr. Rodriguez was a veteran of the Bay of Pigs invasion. He worked with the CIA in Southeast Asia, and then he was in El Salvador setting up the air flights for the Contras with a direct link to the offices of Vice President of the United States. Adnan Khashoggi had an interview, an article, a month ago in the Washington Times. He accused George Bush of funding $1,000 check to the Contras, according to Mr. Khashoggi. Well, that's sort of a teaser to give you an idea what's going to come down. $1,000 is peanuts to these people. And Khashoggi, once described as the world's richest man, to say that the vice president of the United States just gave $5,000 is so ridiculous, but yet it puts his name in the news and is mentioned by one of the top people involved in this whole scandal, and he's fingering Bush. Another article from the Washington Post last week, a long one, Bush is mystery man of Iran affair. Little is known of his role during Reagan's gravest crisis. Now, just sit back and think of the high drama of the former CIA director sitting back while all his former agents that he worked with when he was CIA director are heavily involved in this. And you know that he isn't just sitting back. The question is, how far will the investigators go to get rid of George Bush before they get rid of Ronald Reagan? Now, there are many areas that I've been trying to expose these last 4 or 5 years on World Watchers week after week, and they come into play right now, and it's very timely that I was right on top of these stories. With the exception of Fritz Kramer, Henry Kissinger scandal, the others are in the news at the present time. The first is Western Goals that I've talked about with Larry McDonald and their computers into the police departments, and John Zinglob on the board of Western Goals. So it's no coincidence that the very first person to plead guilty to the Iran-Contra affair is Carl Spitz Channel, who took over Western Goals after Larry McDonald went down in the KAL, the Korean airline. He pleaded guilty to get about 13 charges dropped, but I also think they intended never to let him on the stand to protect the possible exposure of what his organizations do, his direct work with Zinglob, who's silently absent in the news stories, what role he's going to take when he gets up there, or if he'll be called to testify. And it also protects the National Security Council, Ollie North, who I understand helped write the response of the administration to the downing of the Korean airline when Larry McDonald was killed and when his friend Ollie North took over the agency. I was going to do a broadcast, and I am going to, on Carl Spitz Channel's operation. I thought I'd have a lot of time when the hearing started, and lo and behold, he pleads guilty. But that doesn't mean, you know, within a very short time, if I won't be getting, I will be getting into a lot of that organization. But I've done, at least 20 or 30 broadcasts on Western goals. And interestingly enough, it went to Carl Spitz Channel, who is the first person to say, I'm guilty, you know, don't put all that evidence against me. I plead guilty to all of that, or one charge. And so as you saw the headlines this past week, April 30th, Channel pleaded guilty, but he also said Oliver North was in on the deal, and he may go to jail. He may pay a fine. I'm sure he knows too much, particularly about the Korean airline, to get a hard sentence. Also, remember that Albert Hakim's papers about the use of the Korean airline to send weapons to Iran were taken out of his office in Los Gatos, and not much was said about that. And that just may possibly be the pilot from that Korean airline who went down with Larry McDonald. That remains to be seen. There's a lot of unanswered questions. Another area that I worked a lot with and over the years since I got the Torbett document in 1970 was the Permadex Corporation, formed in Rome for the purpose of political assassinations and military coups, which was is what this group Iran-Contra managers are about, although it appears that the big scandal is a transferring of money or arming the Contras. This is their main purpose. And I've traced these banks, so it's no coincidence that one of the big banks in this whole scandal is Credit Suisse. In Switzerland, the secret funding of these operations of Ollie North and Spitz Channel, and this Credit Suisse goes back to early days when Permadex was set up and became part of the Boston Bank, William Weld family. And Boston Bank merged with Merrill Lynch so that Merrill Lynch has part of the Credit Suisse in Switzerland, and the head of Merrill Lynch, Mr. Don Regan, became chief of staff for the President of the United States, and their banks and are tangled, as well as E.F. Hutton, in drug money, conspiracy money, but Credit Suisse is one of the big ones. There's an article last week, April 26, Pentagon account linked to Contra aid. And so that the Defense Department put money into the bank of Ollie North and that gang that went directly to the Contras. The news report says the account was Credit Suisse Bank in Switzerland, where it was tapped for $75,000, just one of those affairs, and sent Polish weapons down on a ship from Denmark, but they used Credit Suisse Bank. Another article in the San Francisco Examiner, probers tracked $10 million in secret funds, and this money went into Credit Suisse. Hakim told congressional investigators $78 million in the Iran's arm money is still in the several Swiss bank accounts. And, of course, there is a long discussion in this particular article that I want to detail later about the money into Credit Suisse that came from the National Security Council. And then there were other articles this week, one from the Wall Street Journal. Contras got $32 million from donors in 9 months. Credit Suisse, the same Swiss bank that figured in the U.S. weapon sales to Iran last year, was a conduit to General Secord's network, that's the TCI, and Credit Suisse is central to the investigations on the diversion of funds. I first became aware of Credit Suisse after Jim Garrison arrested Clay Shaw, and in the book The Kennedy Conspiracy by Paris Lamond, he refers to the network of Permadex operation and their Credit Suisse in Rome that I mentioned before is one of the banks that was set up for controlling the espionage operations that included assassinations and coups. And, of course, the board member of Credit Suisse, of Permadex, the organization that used Credit Suisse, is Clay Shaw. And Paris Lamond indicated in his book, and I have a copy of Clay Shaw's notebook with the addresses of an address of Principessa Marcella Borghese, who's related to Prince Valerio Borghese, known as the Black Prince. And this particular Borghese was anti-British, anti-American, neo-fascist. Is the close link to Stefano Della Calle, the P2, Lucio Gelli, and the current administration. So the banking connections that are going to be coming out go directly back to the operations of Permadex and the coup in this country in 1963 that used those same bank accounts. Now, that book that I cited last week, just because the title was so interesting, Hot Money and the Politics of Debt, What Links the Mafia, the Vatican, Mooney, CIA, and Cocaine Barons, and it has to do with flight capital, written by R.T. Naylor, published by Simon & Schuster this year. Interestingly enough, after the introduction, the very first chapter, page 1 and 2, well, it's 19 and 20 because of the introduction, goes directly into the accounts that are used by Ali North and Spitz Channel for the weapons to Iran, for the weapons, of course, to Angola, to Afghanistan, down to the Contras. And the book just begins this way, a couple sentences. When Bernie Kornfield, remember, he was the lover where Ricky Morgan stayed for a while she was still going out with Alfred Bloomingdale. She couldn't stay at his home. He was married. She stayed with Bernie Kornfield from the president's foreign intelligence advisor, remember? Okay, when Bernie Kornfield, the architect of the world's largest and most successful offshore mutual fund, bought his first airplane, the joke around the investors' overseas services was that he was to start a Capital Flight Airlines. If Bernie Kornfield didn't invent the modern technology of capital flight, that means taking money out of particular countries, emptying it out, he did far more than most of his contemporaries to put it to work. He provided facilities for money to flee the scrutiny and consequently the grasp of particular political authority, which it may be the world's second oldest profession. With the capability of flight capital to threaten the stability of the international monetary system, it's much more recent and important. It started after the aftermath of World War II. After the war, the major powers tried to restore their freedom with financial movements going where they wanted. But the book goes on, the very first chapter, by the 1970s, that's when Richard Nixon was well into power, a sophisticated network of financial institutions specialized in channeling funds of places of refuge and of convenience, with a trail lost to the prying eye of the authorities by a maze of shell companies, bank companies, and other paraphernalia of modern peekaboo finance. Some of the fleeing Iranian royalists had been denied access to the more orthodox channels to which the royal family was no stranger. However, the use of heroin as an instrument of capital flight did point back to the days when the kingpins of American organized crime played this very same game. Now, this book goes into Meyer Lansky, the sentimental favorite for all of this, how he worked with Lucky Luciano, who was in Navy intelligence, how they set up their Swiss banking forays. And interestingly enough, I didn't realize that Lansky worked with Huey Long in New Orleans. And they worked with banks in Geneva and Liechtenstein and set up their exchange money. The IOR, that's Bernie Kornfield, and then Robert Vesco's organization, knew the flight capital business. They worked in from Italy and Switzerland and various countries and arranged illegal sales and cash flowing from one country to the other. After establishing its close relationship with T-Bird Rosenbaum's Banque de Crédit International in Geneva, the IOS operated through banks in Chiasso, a little town outside of Geneva. In Chiasso, the main partner of IOS was Finter Bank, long active in flight capital, the subject of a 1960 scandal. Finter Bank fell into the financial orbit of Carlo Presenti in 1967, one of the deans of Italian Catholic finance, who teamed up with Kornfield to revive the flight capital business. One interested party in their company was Ernest Krumeyer, the manager of Chiasso's branch of Credit Suisse, who built their institutions into profitable arms, and the Swiss banks no longer had to rely on Italian banks, but Credit Suisse was a guarantee to depositors to channel money into Liechtenstein and elsewhere. So the connection of Alfred Bloomingdale to Kornfield to Credit Suisse to the Contra-Iran affair to Credit Suisse and to the whole team involved in these operations of the transfer of weapons and money going back and forth to lots of countries is going to be an interesting story to see how the committees unfold this, because whatever they bring up, it's going to open up more doors. Now, in addition to my working for years on Western Goals that became Carl Spitz Channel's operation, and in addition to his pleading guilty, the first witness to plead guilty, the very first witness, and maybe you'll get the tapes a week later, you will have seen General Richard Secord. Since November of 81, I have been trying to divulge the connections of Edwin Wilson, Frank Turple, to Stanford Technology, to Helena Von Dahm, the president's ambassador to Vienna, who made his appointments when he was governor in California, and for his first term, and after the second election, re-election, she helped with the appointments before she went to Vienna. And I've tried to illustrate through the years Stanford Technology, how it grew out of Otto Albrecht von Bolschwing's TCI, Trans International Computer. The subsidiary was International Imaging System, which Albert Hakim took over. Albert Hakim took it, but the network was there. And this same group of Stanford Technology, IIS, and these characters go back to the Nugent Handbank, to the shooting of the Pope, Theodore Shackley and Frank Turple from TCI, to the Allende murder, Theodore Shackley and Thomas Kleins down in Chile, getting off with the Allende murder, putting Pinochet in power. It was out of this area of Otto von Bolschwing, who headed the Galen organization when Galen went back to Europe, that this network is set up. So when you see Lake Resources, when you see the banking, when you see in these hearings the name Secord, Hakim, Kleins, Wilson, or Shackley, or Singlau. Singlau wasn't part of TCI. He joined through Western Goals and the World Anti-Communist League. He had his own branch of operation. Then they connect. But TCI, Trans International Computer Investment, set up by the Getty family, the Getty Oil, the Fairchild officers and executives, the Philco Ford, the Schlumberger's, the Defense Department. TCI had a subsidiary. It had two, but one was IIS, and that's where Hakim comes in and takes over. So you'll be hearing a lot of that in the news. And the reason I repeat it now, I've done many broadcasts on it. The reason I'm repeating it now is that the hearings start this week. The first person to plead guilty came out of Western Goals that manages Western Goals now, and they're not telling you the truth of who's on the board and the board, connection of those people to the highest levels of government. They're not telling the truth because it's not going to come out that way. It's up to investigators to use that information to understand Carl Spitz's channel and the operations. But I've been dwelling at length about that Stanford Technology out here in Los Gatos, and then they have subsidiaries in Vienna, Virginia, and so forth. And I've been talking at great length about the scandals in Los Angeles of Western Goals and the LAPD. So Mr. Channel, as I say, pleads guilty. He's the first one. And the first witness is Secord. And I don't think it's any coincidence that it came in that order. I think my research is accurate. I know it is. And right now, these characters that are going to testify across that stage are people that have been linked to the organizations that I've been talking on the air about for the past 16 years. Imagine these people using the banking connections, Lake Resources, and also Robert Vesco and Bernie Kornfield's account, Mr. Willard Zucker, over there in Switzerland. You're going to see that those names over and over again in these hearings until you become familiar with them. And if you're good listeners to World Watchers, you are already. But the Lake Resources and the Compagnie de Services Fiduciaires in Switzerland, the CSF in Geneva, the affiliate of Stanford Technology, these banks, run by Willard Zucker, are part of the early investment overseas and the Vesco connections that were set up offshore after World War II for the purposes of moving large hunks of money, mafia money, and also for the purposes of wiping out people in particular countries that they didn't want in power or didn't want to have heard. So the very first witness will be and has been, by the time you get this later, is Secord. Now, which people worked with Stanford Technology? You take these characters who are put together in various articles, many linked to the Bay of Pigs, most of the Indochina connections, most of them to Iranian connections, most of them to Egypt when Sadat was murdered and Mubarak came into power, a few working with Saudi Arabia, all of them in Nicaragua now and Iran in the latest scandal. And out of TCI comes Richard Secord, Thomas Kleins, Theodore Shackley, Oliver North using their banking connections, Albert Hakim, who connected the IIS to TCI, Felix Rodriguez, the guy that works with George Bush, Eric von Marburg, the associate of the current National Security Council advisor, Frank Carlucci, who Marburg was really over him. He lives in Europe now. Edwin Wilson, and the whole team of Michael Ledeen and Robert Brown and Chichi Quintero and all of them used the banking network William Cooper, who died on the CIA airline, Eugene Hasenfuss, who went down in Nicaragua. They all use the banking network set out here by the original Galen von Bolschering network that was put into place for them. A small newsletter called Washington Watch that is sent to me by a listener to World Watchers had an article not too long ago in March, about 3 weeks ago, Pieces to the Puzzle. Committee report identifies the key figures. And, of course, there's Secord and there's Hakim. And, again, it's the IIS that became the TCI. Then there's a longer article in Washington Watch, The Contra War Returns to Washington. This was February the 18th. Going into the connections of the CIA to these particular agencies. And then the article is about the privatization of the ex-CIA and ex-military, and this is the crux of the whole Iran-Contra scandal. And the article says, this is Council on Hemispheric Affairs, February 18th. Contras incorporated retired military and intelligence officers behind the pseudo-enterprises. This is the fifth in a series of columns examining the often Stygian network of privatized operations which the Reagan administration has nurtured and relied upon to further its controversial policy, and in this case, Central America, but of course, all over the world. This particular section from Washington Report on the Hemisphere is about TCI, the home front connections, and they referred to it as a privatized operation, a home front connection, retired military, retired intelligence, and that's exactly the point. TCI was the Defense Department, the intelligence community, the contractors for aerospace, satellites, Star Wars, and so forth. But under that, they built Stanford technology and sent these guys all over the world doing their dirty jobs. They have an address here at 8615 Westwood Drive in Vienna, Virginia, and it's about Albert Hakim and the U.S. Air Force and Edwin Wilson and Robert C. Dutton, a retired Air Force colonel who worked at the Pentagon and then worked for Stanford Technology. And the article from the Washington Report in the Hemisphere goes on. They diverted funds, Secord's money, went into Switzerland to the Compagnie des Services Fiduciaires, which in fact it did, and it went to pay the former CIA and former Defense Department out of Stanford Technology. And then the story goes into the Panamanian fronts. And the point of my mentioning this to you again at this particular time is that the areas I was hitting, the von Bolschering operation that I still have many of the corporation papers for, that TCI that became IIS and then Hakim and Secord and this gang moved into it, is very basic to the entire saga that's coming undone, and Western Goals is the other part of that. Now, if I have been right on fingering the right people for so many years, as I say, the one question that's left is, Fritz Kramer, the man running the Pentagon National Security Council, was he Hitler's top general? And as Alexander Haig and Henry Kissinger distanced themselves from the president, we get another similarity to Watergate. And I'll hopefully do many broadcasts on how they brought this down, how they stand aside, so we don't glorify that Bush and Reagan are in the hot seat now, because just like an empty stage waiting to come on, our Alexander Haig, who's announced he wants to be president, Henry Kissinger, who would love the Constitution changed so he could be president, and General Brent Scowcroft, who assists protecting the National Security Agency so they can do their jobs, and Henry Kissinger floating all over the world representing our State Department. Incidentally, even some establishment magazine like Newsweek has a picture of Credit Suisse in their last issue, May the 4th, hot on the money trail, and there is the building of Credit Suisse, and for so many years I have studied Credit Suisse in Geneva, and there's the face of Albert Hakim and Senator Inouye and so forth, and now the Swiss bank accounts go right back to where they should be, the same people that funded Permandex, and these people work with the operators of Permandex. This team were part of not only the Bay of Pigs or the Vietnam experience, but many of them were directly associated with people who murdered John Kennedy, and all of them knew what happened. They weren't called to cover it up, but all of them as operators have been a team for a long, long time. Now, regarding Ronald Reagan and the Contragate hearings, all of you know who listen to World Watchers, or some new listeners know that I'm not new to Ronald Reagan, and just as I mentioned those other people earlier, like Don Freed and Peter Dale Scott or Jonathan Marshall, we're not new to Ronald Reagan, and as I said, he's been the same. he just forces some people to take over their glass, take off their glasses and look at him. I was never fooled by him. Luckily, I didn't have that kind of mind or desire for what he offered the 49 states that voted for him. And I am not only proud but happy to know that I have the intelligence or ability to know the difference and to share with you what I saw. And I think those of you that are loyal listeners to World Watchers or new listeners can appreciate as things unfold what I was trying to tell you and now get a better view for yourself of things that maybe you didn't even think about or want to entertain. Now, there are a lot of articles about Reagan. Last Saturday there was one in the LA Times. President is aware of Contra funds, and they were quoting various senators and Daniel Inouye, who said he knows a lot. New York Times had a story March 2nd. Memo raises questions on Reagan's knowledge. Earth repeatedly urged that the president be brief. And as I say, the story of James Michener, you can call the 80s the ugly decade, but Michener is one of those that is responsible for the ugliness. See, all these Johnny-come-latelys can write what they want now because, you know, when the feces hits the fan, you can't help but see it and smell it, so there's nothing to do but clean the thing up. And by cleaning it, you absolve your own conscience by telling people, look what's happening. But one of the worst all along was James Michener, and so he now is analyzing the era, and many of them will too. The People's World had a long story, Irangate, a failed strategy in the Reagan Doctrine by Tim Wheeler. He usually writes good articles, but wasn't a failed strategy. It was a failed lifetime. The man has been a disaster. Imagining where he was, what he fought, what he did, and his whole past will be unfolded like a kaleidoscope. You'll see it all for years and years to come. The Washington Post had a story, clandestine group achieved Reagan goal with the help of U.S. officials. Shoestring operation kept Contra aid flowing. Now, that was written in December, 2 months after Hassenfuss landed. Now we learn that the Sultan of Brunei gave him 14 million. Saudi Arabia gave him 30 or 40 million. Mr. Khashoggi gave them 10 or more million. They got a profit on weapons that were sold. The Spitz Channel gave 34 million. Start adding it all up. This never was a shoestring operation. And these writers who think they're so smart, write these articles as if the Congress just managed to get by until Congress gave a little more money. None of that is true. Now, for the next few minutes, there's not too many left for this particular program, but I just want to share with you in chronological order some of the material I had on World Watchers starting January the 4th, 1981, about Ronald Reagan. I put a few of the sheets in chronological order to show you that 7 years ago, I wasn't missing the boat about him or anything about him. January the 4th, 81, I was talking about Jonestown, Angola, and the CIA operations and the use of Philip Blakey in Angola. And then he went on to Jonestown, and he was an active agent who's still alive. That was 1981. In 1987, a lot of this money, I understand, was diverted to Angola. And Reagan is determined to overthrow the government in Angola. The same broadcast, Robert Vesco, the heat is on. Will he leave the Bahamas? He's linked to death, to murders, to drugs, to the drugging of rock musicians, to Ronald Reagan, to the CIA, to narcotics traffic, to Frank Turpel, and Libya. Will he be killed soon? No, he wasn't killed. He's protected by Fidel Castro in Cuba, one of the big mysteries of this whole story. Frank Turpel of Stanford Technology, Ronald Reagan was to be president in 2 weeks, Robert Vesco's attorney. Willard Zucker is the banker for the Oliver North Spitz Channel money and the investigator for the select committee. One of them is Arthur Lyman is the attorney for Robert Vesco also. Vesco has been part of this administration of the cover-up, the banking money. That was 2 weeks before Reagan took oath of office. He had been elected. Then I had material ex-Mooney at Heritage Foundation advising Ronald Reagan to unleash the CIA, bring back the Internal Security Committee, to use food as a weapon, to increase defense spending, and combat minorities. Michael Warder, 34, formerly with the Moonies from 1969 to 1981, went to the top of the rank and was advising the president how to unleash the CIA, and that is part of the problem, William Casey, and the CIA using them for arms and Contras or anything they wanted. That was part of the problem. And the very same broadcast I was talking about, the conservative think tank, the Heritage Foundation, and the effect it would have on this country. Well, I don't even have time to go into year one. I may write a book, think about writing a book on things I had on the air 7 years ago about Ronald Reagan and what happened 7 years later, just in terms of the Iran-Contra affair. Give it a 7-year span, what was happening then and what's happening now, just to illustrate that these events in front of our lives, they're not new, they're not secret, they're open, they're only what you want to accept, what you want to believe. You can have the ideals that Woodrow Wilson talked about, but you have to recognize people who don't have ideals. This is Mae Brussel, and my time is out. I'll be back with you next week in World Watchers to talk some more and for many years about the Iran-Contra affair.